This reading is from Galatians chapter 6, verses 7 to 11, which can be found on page 1172 of the Pew Bibles. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all people, especially to those who belong to the family of believers. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. This is word of the Lord.
Now, quite often in church, older people say things and the younger people don't always understand. Typical example of this in my house, I'll say something like, should we tape that TV program tonight? Now, if you're like me and you've got sort of digital boxes and things, there's no tape involved, is there? It's all recorded digitally. And sometimes some younger people look at you like, tape? What's that? Now, but today, we're thinking about harvest and we're thinking about passages from the Bible, about sort of, you know, what we do has an impact and a result. And I'm also thinking about some words that we use, because a lot of the farming words that are in this passage are ones which might be familiar to us. So as we've got lots of young people with us today, I wonder if they could tell us what some of these words mean that some of the older people amongst us might not know. Okay, first one's this, a goat. So-and-so, or this is a goat. Do you know what that means? Well, it is an animal. Yes, very true. I walked into that, didn't I? Go on.
A sheep with horns.
A sheep with horns. I don't think you lot are right down with it. I don't think you lot are right on the cutting edge of lingo. Because a goat, in modern terminology, means the greatest of all time. Edna's cakes are the goat. Good job I explained that first. I'd be in trouble otherwise, wouldn't I? Whoop. Okay, what about salty? I was really salty. Anyone know? Do you know anyone? Go on, you have any other guess? Go on.
I think it means like salty.
Sorry, something salty. Yes, yes. It has another meaning though. Obviously it means salty, like you have on your crisps and that. But what else does it mean if you... Oh, we've got somebody over there. What do you think, Ollie? Ate too much. No. I didn't know this either, don't get me wrong. I'm learning as I go along. Salty means you're angry. So if you're salty with somebody, you're angry. Did anyone know that? No. You see, you're learning today. Here's another one. Throw shade. Go on then. What do you think throw shade means? Possible. It actually means something in slang. Anyone know what it means? You throw shade at someone. Anyone heard this? Ooh, wait a minute. Somebody... Whoa. Barry knew that. Barry is down with the kids. It's official. Throw shade means you insult someone. Anyone heard that? No? Here's another one you might not have known. I was ankurried. Angry, good guess. Go on then. Miserable, very good guess. Doesn't mean worried, it's not rhyming. Go on then. Anybody else have a guess? This may have happened to some of us. It's when you're fired, or doesn't say, without warning. Fired suddenly, without any warning. But we're thinking specifically about farming words and things. So I wonder if anyone knows this one. The back 40. Anyone knows that? Because this is something farmers will say. Because you're thinking about harvest. Anyone know what the back 40 is? Go on, Ollie. Harvest. Well, that's a really good guess. Anybody else like to have a guess? Go on then. No, And it actually, I'll tell you what it actually means. It means the fields and land that is furthest away from the farm building. It's the land that's way out there, the back 40. Now, if you didn't get that one, I doubt you're going to get this one. Unless you're a farmer. A gimmer. What's a gimmer? Anyone like to have a guess what a gimmer is? Bit of machinery? Good guess. Go on, you go. Have a guess. Go on. Very good. Yes. That's the best guess we've had. It's a young sheep. A gimmer. So next time you're in the fields walking, going for what you can go, there's some gimmers over there. Here's another one. Rig-welted. Anyone guess what rig-welted is? It's to do with farming. Anyone guess? Looks of blank faces there. No, rig-welted. It's when a sheep is so big and fat, when it falls over, it can't get up again. Who here has had that exact experience? Yeah. Paul, in the passage we just heard from the Bible, is talking about harvest. And sometimes we don't think about harvest because a lot of us have never been on a farm. We don't know anyone who's a farmer. The whole idea of harvest and farming is something that we don't necessarily know about. But in the passage, I just remind you what it says in the passage. It says, whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows, that's sowing seed, to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Paul is using a farming idea to get across this idea. Now, one of the things that's going on here is because Paul is talking about harvest, he's talking about the long term. Because farmers think in long term, don't they? Farmers think months and months ahead, don't they? Okay. But the trouble is, we don't always think like that, do we? And when we think about harvest, maybe for some of us, we think about when harvests fail. Anyone seen pictures on TV, people in Africa, where the harvest has failed? And today we're supporting tier funds, which particularly helps people who've had problems with their harvest, where they haven't got the food in. We expect it to be there. We expect to go to the supermarket, see all the things we like there. But for some people, it just hasn't happened. The harvest hasn't happened. And also, people growing up today don't always know where things come from. Now, this is true. In America, did you know that 16 million people think that chocolate milk comes from brown cows? Can you believe that? It does. Like, we're all here to learn, aren't we? Or, and in our country, there's thousands of children who think that strawberries are grown in a refrigerator and they come out of a refrigerator. Well, they do come out of a refrigerator, don't they? When we eat them, but they come from a refrigerator. We just don't know about farming. And we don't know about the way that farmers think in the long term. Some of us do, anyway. I want to ask some of the young people here, what is the next big thing that you're really looking forward to? Has anyone got something they're really... Go on, then. Christmas. Do you know, that is long-term thinking, isn't it? Because Christmas is... Well, it's getting nearer, isn't it? Anything. What are you looking forward to? Halloween. That's a bit nearer, isn't it? Go on then. You had all of them. You're looking forward to everything. Life is just a bowl of cherries, isn't it? It's just happening. Anybody else got something they're really looking forward to? Holiday. Yeah. For adults. Because, you know, we all have things we look forward to, don't we? Things we think, right, it's 3 weeks till that happens, or this is coming along, and no matter how miserable I am now, I've got that to look forward to. And a lot of grown-ups and families, they measure life in terms of the school. Who thinks of life in terms of school starting again? This is happening. For a lot of us, it's like that, isn't it? September. Who thinks about this? Who measures time in terms of the football season? Peter does. We'll pray for you. Tax year. I'm going to look at Graham for the next one. Central heating. Yes. We all have things that we kind of measure the time by. And for some of us, putting on the central heating is a sort of marking point in the year, isn't it? It's where we kind of measure that. In Bible days, harvest was a really important time of the year. It's something you measured time by, because they didn't have calendars the same as we have. And in Ruth chapter 1, verse 22, it says this, "So Naomi returned from Moab, arriving in Bethlehem as the barley harvest was beginning." They didn't say she came back on the 1st of October, or at that time of the year even, or in that month. They measured it by the time of the barley harvest. Okay. So let's try and get ourselves into the way of thinking about farming. And somebody might have to help me in a minute with this. But I want to ask you, if we're going to grow something, what do we need? Anyone got any ideas? What do we need if we're going to grow some plants? Go on then. We need seeds. What else do we need? Go on. Water and sunshine. Very good. And something else very important we missed? Go on, Thomas. Soil. Right. Here we've got some soil. In here is some soil. Okay. Just there. Okay. This is, well, look, gardening implements. This is the sunshine. Okay, shining on there. Need some water. Okay, we've got all we need now. There's soil in the boxes. We've got all we need now to grow our plants. So it's all ready to go. In a minute, maybe somebody can help me get the plants going. Okay? We need sunshine, don't we? We need sunshine. Sometimes we need a bit of encouragement to grow. We're thinking about growing, aren't we, in our church? We're thinking about growing. Today we're thinking about growing through patience, which is what you need when you're a farmer. But we need sunshine, don't we? And sometimes it's good to be encouraged when things go right. We need rain as well, don't we? And sometimes we can grow more in the times when things are against us, when things aren't going right. Who's had that experience? You grow more sometimes when things aren't going exactly as you planned. We need the seed. And here we have the seed, which we'll plant in a minute, okay? But what will we plant? Now, we go back to the bit in the Bible that we just read. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. So there's two kinds of seeds. The seeds in the Spirit and seeds of the flesh. Now, what does flesh mean? Does that mean you cut off a bit of your finger and plant it? What do you think it means by seeds of flesh? That's pretty weird, isn't it? What do you think? Go on. Yeah. Flesh in the Bible, it kind of means the things we know we shouldn't do, but the things that everybody else does, and we get carried along in doing it, isn't it? That's what the flesh means. It's things that are wrong, but things we kind of drift into doing. Now, what about seeds of the Spirit? What do you think that means? Anyone got any ideas? Seeds of the Spirit. What's your name?
Hayden.
You've been a star today, I have to say, Hayden. What do you think that means, seeds of the Spirit? It sounds like syrup. It does sound like syrup, doesn't it? Seeds of the Spirit are things that we know that are right. Oh, is that a hand over there? Go on, Ollie. What do you think seeds of the Spirit means? Power of the Spirit. That's right. It's things that we know are right that God has told us we should do. Things like in the Bible that we should love other people, that we should follow God, that we should ask to be forgiven by Jesus, that we should forgive other people. These are the sort of seeds we should plant. Okay, so we've got two lots of seeds, seeds of the Spirit and seeds of the flesh. Who's going to come and help me plant these seeds? I think Hayden should do it because he's helped so much today, don't you? Come on, Hayden, you come and help. Right, do you want to plant the seeds of the Spirit in that one there? Just open it up. Shall I open it for you? There we go. Have you not got your envelope opening badge yet? No. Okay. There we go. Now carefully put them in that one there, and I'll put mine in this one here. And then we'll see how they grow. Yeah? That's right. Put them in. Yeah, put them all in. There we go. And we have to sort of dig it a bit with your digger thing. Okay. That's it. Should I put a bit of water in yours? A bit of water in mine? You do the sunshine. How you doing? So, in a minute, we'll see how the seeds have come out. Because what we do now, what happens now, what we do today, the habits that we have, the way we live our lives, will affect how we do in the future. Just put on a bit on there as well. There we go. You can go and sit down. A fantastic job. Right, okay. We'll leave them to grow. Should we see what's happened to those seeds? Who wants to have a look and see what's happened? Yeah? Should we go? Okay. These are the ones that Hayden planted. Very nice. Super improved compost. It does the job every time. And these are the ones that I planted. These come from the seed of the Spirit. And these ones come from the seed of the flesh. Now, you might not be able to see them very well there. So hopefully we've got a picture of them closer up. Before we do that, I'm just going to read a bit. Just to remind us of this passage, okay? Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. Whoever sows to please the flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. Whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. Now, on my one here, the first thing we've got some me peas. Okay? Some me peas. Now, if you live your life according to the way the world tells you to ignore God, just to get on with your life and please yourself, this is where you end up, don't you? You end up sometimes just thinking about yourself and living your own world. And this can happen. And it can happen to the best of us. Okay? Next, we've got hopeless tomatoes. If you walk away from God, what hope have you got? There's not a lot there, is there? We can hope that we'll win the lottery, hope that we'll go on a nice holiday, maybe even hope that when we retire, things will be okay. But we haven't got the hope that only God can give us. Also, in my little planter, we've got some Beam Me Up Scotty beans, okay, over there. Do you ever get in a situation in life where you think, how did this happen? Why did this end up like this? How can I put things right? When you've broken up with a friend or things have just come unstuck. And sometimes it happens to all of us, whether a Christian or not a Christian. But sometimes life leads us to this point where we wish we could change things, where we have regrets. And that's what happens when we sow the seed of the flesh. We end up in a bit of a mess. These are the plants that grew from the fruit of the Spirit. From the seed of the Spirit. The first thing that we get is the fruit of the Spirit. Now, this is something we've been talking about a lot in our church, fruit of the Spirit. And the previous chapter in Galatians 5 talks about exactly that. The fruit of the Spirit, it says, verse 22, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Now, these are things we know about. If we've been Christians for a while, we might have heard about the fruit of the Spirit, but we don't always know what it looks like. Now, I read something in a book the other day, and I hope this is good for you and interesting for you, but this is where somebody became a Christian, and the reason they became a Christian, because they noticed something different about somebody else. It's one lady became a Christian because she noticed another lady who was different. And this is what she said about this. This is what she saw in that lady that made her want to come to God. When we met, I began to discover a new vulnerability, a warmth and a lack of pretense that impressed me. I saw in her a thriving spirit, no sign of stagnation. She wasn't just doing the same things again and again for the sake of it. She had a strong self-esteem, but not based on self-help books, but on something deeper. I felt a depth of love and concern as she listened to me and didn't judge me. She's willing to go against the grain of society and follow what she believes to be true, no matter what other people say. These are the fruit of the Spirit, aren't they? For these reasons and many others, I found myself really wanting what she's got. Now I'm a Christian. I'm grateful beyond words how she lived out her Christian life in front of me. These are the fruit of the Spirit. The next thing we've got here are plantains. See what I did there? A plan. God's plan in our life. When we sow the seed of the Spirit, we can see God working in us. Now, I wonder, has anyone ever been in a maze? A real maze? Has anyone been in a real maze? Have you been in a maze? Did you get lost? Did you get lost? You don't remember. Hayden, did you get lost? Oh, yes. Did you get lost too? No, you didn't get lost. The first time I ever went in a maze, there was a tower just next to the maze. Have you been one like that, where people can shout at you, go left? You know, I've seen things like that. And it's really useful, isn't it? Because otherwise you're going, you have no idea where you're going, do you? But if somebody's telling you the way to go, then it's much, much easier. And when you've got God guiding you, it's exactly like that, isn't it? Because sometimes we have decisions, we don't know what to do. Do we do this? Do we do that? But if God is guiding you, then that makes all the difference. And that's one of the fruit that grows from the seed of the Spirit. Plantains, God's plan working out in your life. The cherries of change. We're happy for God to change us. We're open for God to change us, aren't we? When we have the seed of the Spirit living in us. So what does the seed look like? We've read about the fruit of the Spirit. And that same passage, going back a bit, will tell us about the things that are the bad seed. Verses 19 to 21, you can read about that yourself. But sometimes the good seed is just simply doing the everyday things of our Christian life, isn't it? It's just simply reading the Bible. It's just simply praying. It's just simply asking God to forgive us. It's simply forgiving other people, isn't it? These are the basic things of our faith that are part of this good seed that God plants in us. I want to ask you something now, the kids particularly. If you planted the wrong seed like this, but pretended it was good seed, I want to ask a question. Do you think God would notice? Or do you think you could fool God and say this is actually good seed when it's not? Do you think God would? Do you think you'd get away with that? No. No. It says in verse 7 of the passage we read at the beginning, it says this: God cannot be mocked. You can't fool God. The things you plant in your life, the things that grow in your life, God cannot be fooled. He knows what's going on. He sees the things that we're doing and we're planting in our lives. So we've got the right seed. Everything's good now. We can get rid of the rubbish ones. We've got the right seed growing. We now need to be patient, don't we? And Galatians, where we've got the reading from, is a book about faith. We need to be patient and trust God that he will do the thing he's going to do. In verse 9, it says this: for the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. I want to ask a question, one more question from you. Jesus in the Bible, right? Who knows a bit about Jesus? Anyone? Perhaps a little bit. Can you tell me something? Do you think Jesus was quite patient? Because we talk about being patient. Do you think he was patient? You think he was? Hayden, what do you think?
Yeah.
No. Okay. Anybody else? Yes. There was times when he wasn't patient. Sometimes when he had to get angry with people. When people were like the Pharisees who were pretending to plant good seed, but they weren't. They were planting bad seed. With those people, he wasn't that patient, was he? But Jesus was very patient with his disciples, and he's patient with us. He was patient with Peter when Peter was getting things wrong, when his disciples were arguing about who was the best among them. Jesus was very patient, and Jesus was also patient about time. He knew when it was the right time to declare who he was and when it was the wrong time. So Jesus is a model for us of being patient and waiting for God to do something. Just to sum up then, Psalm 126 has these very famous words in it. Though those who sow in tears shall reap in joy. Sometimes we have to be patient, and sometimes we have to cry tears for the things we really want to happen in the kingdom of God. And also we need to look at our lives. What are we starting to do? What are the projects we're starting to get into? Are they the seeds that we're planting? Are they the right seeds? Are they ones that God will bless, ones that God can grow? Are we doing those everyday Christian things I've talked about, like praying, like reading the Bible, like being forgiven and forgiving other people? What about the rain? Are we okay in the rain? When rain comes against us, it's sometimes there to water the seed and to grow. And to remember above all that in the end, it's all worth it. In Romans 8:18, it says this: I consider that our present sufferings are not worth comparing with the glory that will be revealed to us. It's worth remembering, it's worth being patient, that God will grow those seeds that we plant in him, in the Spirit, and one day we will reap a harvest. That'd be great, wouldn't it? To have a harvest which God has given to us.